Blog Talk Radio.
LGB. 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 LGB.
They say
LGB
everywhere
I go.
LGB.
What it means?
I don't know.
LGB.
Whatever it is.
LGB.
Kamala, help me. Please. Please.
Alrighty then.
I like you.
LGB.
That, let's go, Brandon. Right?
LGB.
This means let's go, Brandon.
No.
LGB.
Sounds like let's go, Brandon. I guess.
LGB.
Alright.
Let's go, Brandon.
Cornholio.
Chance.
LGB.
Right wing and left wing.
LGB.
So you know the thing.
LGB.
If you don't sing
that back.
LGB.
And you play black.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
LGB.
Let's go, Brandon.
FJB.
Let's go, Brandon.
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
Okay, I think I'm back. James Bostic, a conservative perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio. Hit that damn false mother of pearl. Thank God if it isn't one thing, it's another. Well, Thanksgiving week, everybody. Hope you're doing well. That sounds you here in the background and now in the foreground is a crisp, refreshing Canada Dry ginger ale. It's the holidays. And that's when old dad starts drinking ginger ale these days. Anyway, good to be with you. Mother of pearl. People, come on now. It's good to be here, regardless of what shape we just got in here. No, Gary, I wouldn't say anything about that picture either. I understand why. Gary Benford, superstar, incidentally. United Patriots Uprising left the launch pad like a Saturn V rocket headed for the moon, Alice. The moon. And that's where he's going. Outstanding guest from an outstanding host. Some of the best caller-driven, guest-driven talk radio you're going to find out there anywhere. Gary Benford, United Patriots Uprising. He's on all the platforms. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him. Don't even know why you'd want to try. Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising, my buddy, my friend. I love the guy. Okay. Thanksgiving week. And yes, by the way, Gary just told me I am expected to be a guest on this program. And that is moving into some rarefied air indeed. Superstar, my man, Gary Binford. Okay. Thanksgiving week. And you know, most of you know I'm in the school business, and we're off this week, and I got to be honest with you, I'm really glad of it. I had a lot of things I had to take care of here at the house, and getting the meal ready for everybody. Family's coming in. We're gonna have a terrific time. My brother, his family, friends are coming by, and Thanksgiving's gonna be an awesome time. My mom is like 114. And she's still in pretty good shape. She has a little trouble. No, I'm just kidding. She's 1934. What year is this? This May, she will be 88. I have an 87-year-old mom. And she's in great shape physically. She has a little trouble getting up and down the steps. She doesn't drive anymore, but that's what she has me for. I'll take her everywhere she wants to go. And tomorrow, speaking of Thanksgiving dinner and whatnot, we're going to Sam's. I'm taking her to Sam's. And we're going to get a little scooter. She loves the scooters. And we're going to go through, and she's going to pick out some desserts and some cordials and things that she'd like to have hanging around for everybody to nosh on once they get to the house. And that's going to be a great time. Thanksgiving. Sometimes I wonder if Thanksgiving, as I move into the early, mid, late afternoon of my life. I think I'm starting to dig, and I've always loved Christmas. Kids always do. But Thanksgiving has come up there really close with Christmas on my holiday list. And fundamentally for the same reasons. As an adult, Christmas really isn't much about gifts anymore. It's certainly not tangible ones, I don't think. They're always appreciated. You're always grateful when you get them, clearly. But it is those intangible gifts that you get, that you benefit from with family and friends. And I think, you know, as part of the maturation process, and as you grow older, those things have a higher priority, and I think you have a heightened appreciation for them. I know that I do. I feel so blessed. I still got mom for another Thanksgiving and Christmas, all things being equal. And we're going to have a great time of it through the holiday season. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. My brother's still here. He's in good shape. My two favorite nieces in the whole wide world are going to be coming to stay with us, stay with my brother and his wife. But they're going to be coming to dinner. It's just going to be a great week. Just really, really great week. Excited about it. And I hope you guys have just as blessed a Thanksgiving as I think we're going to have. Mother of pearl. I can't get this. Okay, we're good now. Okay, moving on. The lid. I got a rubber-ringed lid to this cup, and it wasn't. Sometimes it gets temperamental, and I was trying to get it on there, and it just wasn't happening. But I think we're pretty much under control now. Malice in the palace, as advertised. The Biden-Harris feud has heated back up after voters' remorse sets in everywhere on the left. Nobody, and I mean nobody on the left, is happy with anybody else on the left. The gays are mad at the straights. The transgenders are mad at the gays. The straights don't really like either one of them. But we're trying to be live and let live about this, but they're obviously not. The black people are hating white people. White people are disgusted with the communists that are running the Democrat Party these days. And they're all at each other's throats on the left. AOC and the squad still hating Jews just as much as they ever did. And they hate the moderates of the party. They hate Joe Manchin. They hate Kyrsten Sinema. is they hating anybody that doesn't agree with them, just as the LGBTQ ADHD TV types. You know, they hate anybody that doesn't agree with them. The transgenders just hate everybody. They don't care about anything. They just want to hate. Same thing with Antifa. Same thing with Black Lives Matter. All these different factions. Because, and that is the other side, shall we say. That is the other side of the blade, known as divide and conquer. You set up with identity. Once you begin to engage in identity politics, it's a monster that will eat you alive. Well, why do I say that? Look what's happening. What few, and I really don't know how many there are. I don't know if they're in the minority. I don't know that it's the leftists, the Marxists that are in the minority, the progressive Marxists that are in the minority, and they're just more vocal, and they're more insistent on positions of leadership and on what direction the Democrat Party takes. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that there is disgust with the moderates. They don't want anything to do with this. And there's a lot of misguided folks on the left. They just are. There are a lot of people out there that when they see someone like Chuck Schumer, they equate him with the Democrats of their past or the Democrats they grew up with. Hubert Humphrey, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, Edwin Muskie, Fritz Mondale. Dick Gephardt, and I'm trying to think of some other names, but you get the idea. More moderate, more obviously stable Democrat leaders from days gone by. They don't have that now. Who do they have? Who, somebody please tell me, who is that moderate voice of reason on the Democrat side? Is it Nancy Pelosi? Is it Dianne Feinstein? Is it Barbara Boxer? Is it Chuck Schumer? Is it Joe Biden? I'm not dead air. I'm here. I'm just thinking about this. Who is the voice of reason? Who is the Democrat that comes on and doesn't say the wacky things that all these people say? I don't know. But with identity politics, and you isolate these people, you know, you categorize them. You've got the gays, you got the straights, you got the Latinx, you've got the racist white supremacists, you've got black people, you've got Asians, you've got all these different groups. And all these different splinter groups. And when these liberal politicians go to these places and they address these people, they speak to them as if they're the only group that matters. And if the politician's good enough and not just simply craven and pandering, he can sell them. And they'll believe that they're the only group that matters. What they don't understand is once they get finish talking with the gays, they go and talk with the transgenders, or they go and talk with some evangelicals, or they go and talk to the Latinxes, and they make every one of these individualized groups feel as though they're the only ones that count. They're the only ones that are important. You're the guys that I listen to. The gays, I got to say that stuff to them to keep them in line. You're the people that are our hope. You're the people that I'm really into, man. And they do that to every one of these groups. And then at some point, the leadership from these various factions, or, you know, the groups in toto themselves, You know, they want their piece of the pie. They want their piece of the action. They want their cut. They want what they were told they were going to get. And they're not getting it. And they're getting mad. So you have this division throughout the Democrat Party. And you have a duplicitous as well as complicitous media willingly keeping this out of the news, declaring a blackout on this. They don't want to talk about this. But it's important we talk about it because every fissure, every crack in this giant, rotted, monolithic, communist, Marxist, Leninist, socialist, central control insanity that the left views as reasonable and moderate government has to be exploited, and we have to be made aware of it. We have to talk about it. We got to spread it around. These people are in disarray. Yes, it would appear that as of now, they hold a pretty good hand. You know, they've got this idiot signing executive orders left and right to undo every positive thing, actually everything that Trump did, every positive thing that Trump undertook, that the administration undertook, bang, gone, done away with, reversed. But these people are losing leadership. 13 Democrats, I think, from the Senate so far have said they're either not going to run or they're retiring. They're getting out. The majority is imploding. They're going to have to get new talent up for primaries. They're going to have to dump a lot of money on them. I don't know how successful they're going to be. It could be that the 2022 midterms are a massive rout, a nosebleed, a shellacking, I think was what Barack Obama called it. And he was right, and it could happen again. The only problem is, and this is where we've got to worry about, I'll get back to this thing with the Bidenses and the Harrises here in a minute, are the squish Republicans that are out there, invariably, you know, that are going to be bought, they're rhinos, and they're going to, you know, Democrat light, and they're going to fall with these guys. There's going to be some. And we have a pretty good idea of who they are. That 13 who voted for the Build Back Bolshevik plan got to go. And we got to get guys in there, you know, more guys like Devin Nunes, like Jim Jordan, like Matt Gaetz. Those kind of guys. And they're out there, and you know, the talent out there politically is you know, we just got to find it. We got to look through. We got to vet. That's part of being an informed electorate. Now back to the Bidenses and Harrises. Holy Toledo! During the this feud has gone on since the very beginning. During one of the debates, Kamala Harris pinned Joe down on being a racist, accusing him of being a racist, and yeah, I think he is. He was pals with Robert Byrd and Strom Thurmond when he was in the Senate. So yeah, he's a racist. He's like a lot of Democrats, a lot of progressive left. They love using black people, but what have they done for them? You can answer that one yourself. So she accused him of being a racist. And it's something that has a certain amount of stickiness to it. Jill Biden hates Kamala Harris. This all started when President Biden appointed Kamala Harris as the expert as to what was going on the southern border. Now, there was a little bit of wisdom in this on the Biden team's part, because if she were serious about the border, that would be enough to keep her busy for a long time. And since the border policy to remain porous and wide open is never going to change, then that means she's going to take a lot of flack for saying we're going to do this and that, and it never happens. She understood that. Doesn't understand much because she's not a particularly bright person, but she's very, very ambitious and cunning. And there are a lot of people who think that she is openly trying to take the reins of the presidency through the 25th Amendment. In this case, they might have a shot. Not dead air, just drinking some ginger ale. Well, she doesn't go to the border for months. And then when she finally does, she goes to a remote part where there's not a whole lot of illegal alien activity going on. Stands around, does Photoshop or Photoshop. They might have Photoshopped it, but anyway, she does her photo op, stands around, gets a few pictures taken, boom. Back to Houston and a really, really good Mexican restaurant. That's all I can think of. Well, she did what she was expected to do in the campaign run-up on the Build Back Better bill. And, you know, it gets through, this boondoggle goes through the House and then the Senate, goes on to the Senate with these 13 Republican squishes who fall in and vote with them. And at the signing ceremony, she's not introduced. She's at the podium getting ready to give her Kamala remarks, but someone else is announced. They say that was an oversight. It was intent, you know, we were terribly sorry about it. So she decides that because she is the only person in America, and the only person in America who is disliked more than Joe Biden right now, Kamala Harris. And she feels kind of bad about this because she thinks that she's done the things that a good vice president should do. And I don't think she has the first clue as to what a good vice president does. I'm not really sure any of us do, but I don't think she's anywhere near it. Makes me kind of miss little Dan Quayle. And Dan Quayle wasn't a bad guy. Everybody dogged him out. He was a country club Republican to a certain extent, but well-matched to be George H.W. Bush's vice president. He didn't get into any trouble. They made him try, but you know, they tried to make him look like a rube the same way they did George W. Bush. There are people who buy it, and there are people who believe that, and then there are people who know them. So she's taken a beating in the polls. She's the only person in the country disliked worse than Joe Biden. Her approval ratings as far as her job are just in the absolute toilet. Pete Buttigieg, edge, has been missing for 2 months minimum while 160-plus cargo ships bottle themselves up in San Diego Harbor. Nothing's coming in. The environmental restrictions on trucks for California are so draconian and so onerous, there'll never be enough trucks to get this stuff unloaded. Nobody talks about that, but with these emission standards that California have, and they're some of the most stringent in the country, a lot of the trucks that move this stuff from California inland don't meet the requirements. So he takes 2 months off to feed the baby. He and his husband, Bernadine, I can't remember, his husband, partner, spouse, baby other daddy, I guess, I don't know. The Biden administration stands up for them and, says these people are just racist, homophobic duty heads, and shame on them for thinking that way. Well, Kamala Harris says, you know, it's kind of disappointing, but in a way not surprising that the White House would support Pete Buttigieg, a white guy, and give him more cover fire than they would their vice president, who's a black woman. Yeah, she's not a black woman. She's a Jamaican and Indian, but she's not black. I mean, she's not African, of African descent. It's crazy. Uh, So a couple weeks back, a Fox News correspondent, a guy by the name of Chad Pergram, gives out a tweet. This is when? Last week. Whoa. There's talk on Capitol Hill about the mechanics of a confirmation hearing to fill a vice presidential vacancy amid Kamala's nosediving approval numbers and reports of a strained relationship between Biden and Harris. According to the Daily Mail's report on the matter, citing Fox News' Jesse Waters show, and that's where Pergram was on, our Capitol Hill correspondent, Chad Pergram, tells us, this is Waters speaking, he's been hearing whispers suggesting there could be some new high-profile confirmation hearings on the horizon in the House of Representatives. Why is this a big deal? Because the House does not confirm normal nominees, but it does confirm vice presidential nominees. Does this have something to do with Kamala Harris? It's been no secret. She's been running out of favor with the Biden team, and there's a lot of conjecture right now about her future and her lagging poll numbers. Pergram said, so I got a message recently from someone who knows Capitol Hill very well, and they suggested that I should familiarize myself with the process to confirm a vacancy for the vice president in the Senate and the House. Pergram also pointed out that this was amorphous stuff, but nevertheless, he feels and thinks that there is something going on. Rumors have circulated that Biden may even be considering, oh my God, nominating Kamala Harris for a Supreme Court seat if one becomes vacant so that he could select a new vice president. While White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki tweeted that Harris is a vital partner to Biden, the fact that the administration even felt the need to try and quell such reports suggests that they may not be entirely unfounded. Harris herself, according to writer Shane Harris, is an unusually Machiavellian vice president who is openly plotting to eventually take the reins. She bit back against this CNN expose a couple weeks ago. They did, she can't run her office. She can't keep staff. There's a high turnover. Her family jumps in and out with advice. And so in response to that, that's when she came up with the racist dig. And I don't know, I mean, and it's entirely possible that there are people out there who are probably working this angle, and they're thinking that the 25th Amendment in this particular case could probably actually be used because the old man's mind is about two-thirds gone. Joe Biden has, for better or worse, decades of friendships and alliances and honor among thieves relationships throughout Congress. Kamala Harris, very few. And given her self-serving and ambitious nature, whose plotting do you think is going to have more legs here? Well, obviously it's going to be Joe's. I thought the guy would be gone by now. I thought, honest to God, I didn't think he would make it through the summer. And he's still plugging along. But at some point within, and by the way, he's running for re-election. Jen Psaki announced today that Joe's, he's running for re-election. Right. At some point, okay, he pooped on himself in front of the Pope. He let out some long, dull, groaning 30, 45-second fart in front of what's her name? Camilla Parker Bowes. Prince Charles is squeezed. And she was astonished. Couldn't believe it. That's what they said. Anyway. At some point, even with all the help he's getting, with earplugs, with prepping, with people working with him, with guarding his schedule, with all these things, with these cognitive enhancing nootropic cocktails, at some point his mental decline is going to outpace the ability of these medications and all the things they're doing to prop him up. It's just not going to work anymore. I don't know that he can last 4 years. They may have projected at this point a resignation date. And that's why they're looking at trying to find another vice president and get her the hell out of there. But my thinking on this is, Kamala Harris wants the same thing Joe Biden and Jill Biden wanted. The presidency. Joe Biden didn't care what price he sold his soul for in order to grab that brass ring and be president of the United States, even if it is short-lived, even if it is an abbreviated administration. He doesn't care. He did whatever those guys told him to do. He will continue to do as long as he is cognitively able to do so. He will continue to do what they say. Kamala Harris will be no different, I promise you. She won't. She'll do whatever they tell her to do. Just like she did whatever Willie Brown wanted her to do back in the day. That's how she got started in this business. And old habits die hard. She wants to be the president so bad she can taste it. And if she gets that opportunity to step in there, I guarantee you she will rubber stamp everything that the shadow government, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, Hydra, she'll do everything that Hydra wants her to do. Huh. Bottom of the hour, we're going to play a little music. I'm going to get up and walk around for a minute. My back's stiff as a board. Anyway, we will be back with more of Conservative's Perspective as soon as I find something for us to listen to. I thought I found something, but apparently I didn't. So we'll try it again. We'll be back with more of ACP right after this.
Mrs. John. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. Well, I thought the day I met you, you were meek as a lamb. Just the kind to fit my dreams and plans. Now the pace we're living takes the wind from my sails, and it looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail. A tiger by the tail. I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. Well, I'm a losing weight and I'm turning mighty pale. Looks like I've got a tiger by the tail.
How's that for country? Jeannie C. Riley and Buck Owens, one and only Buck Owens, Tiger by the Tail. It's plain to see. James Bostic, a conservative's perspective here on Patriot Nation, on Patriot Nation Radio here at Blog Talk Radio. So we have this... multi-pronged, this division of with so many separate focal points driving into this gigantic monolith, this progressive Marxist left-wing monolith that we still call the Democrat Party. And we just have to keep hammering it. And there are so many things. There are a lot of things really to be encouraged about, like the election results, the off-year gubernatorial election in Virginia, a resounding rebuke and repudiation of Terry McAuliffe, Ralph Northam, critical race theory, these arrogant elite sons of bitches in our school boards who think they know better than the parents what these kids need to be taught, what they need to learn. The first minority attorney general in Virginia's history was elected by Republicans. By Republicans, not by Democrats who care for minorities so much. The first black lieutenant governor. Female, I don't think that's a twofer. I mean, I think they've had a woman lieutenant governor before, but if not, then that's a twofer. The first black woman elected lieutenant governor in the history of Virginia. Democrats did not do that. Democrats who love black people so much, who want to do so much for the downtrodden, oppressed black people, they didn't do that. Republicans did that. And she was on with Dana Bash Sunday. And it was like, you know, just an atomic sledgehammer taken to a lot of the usual liberal talking points. The first part of the interview, I think was kind of squishy and kind of soft, but it was used to set, or what they thought Dana Bash thought she was doing, was setting up Winsome Sears, Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears, for the kill, and it didn't work out that way. Again, a little bit on the long side. It's about 9 minutes or so, but it's better that you guys hear these things from these people themselves, their words coming out of their mouths, rather than me half-assed paraphrasing something. Lieutenant Governor of Virginia Winsome Sears, Dana Bash on one of the Sunday Knothead shows.
Let's talk about education more broadly. You oppose critical race theory being taught in schools, which I should say is not part of Virginia's curriculum. You did say, though, that the good and the bad of American history should be taught, and that we should also tell viewers you're the former vice president of the Virginia Board of Education. So explain how you think race should be taught in Virginia public schools.
Well, let me back up. I beg to differ that CRT is not taught.
I didn't say that. I just said it's not in the curriculum, just to be clear.
No. It is part of the curriculum. It's weaved in and out of the curriculum. In fact, in 2015, former governor, who was just defeated, McAuliffe, his state board of education had information on how to teach it, so it's weaved in. So, you know, it's semantics, but it's weaved in. What we want to say, and what Governor-elect Youngkin has said, is that all of history must be taught, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because what we learn from history, Dana, is that we don't learn from history, and we continue to repeat the same mistakes. But while we're talking about history, how about we talk about how people from the 1890s, black people from the 1890s to about 1950, 1960, according to the U.S. Census, had been marrying at a percentage that had far surpassed anything that whites had ever done. When we talk about the Tulsa race riots, let's ask ourselves, how did the black people amass so much wealth right after the Civil War so that it could even be destroyed? How did they do that? You know, they were coming from nothing, from zero. Some of them never even got the 40 acres and a mule. Let's try to emulate that. The one thing that the slaves wanted, three top things, their freedom, certainly. Then the next thing was they wanted to find their families. And the third thing was they wanted an education. And my God, when did education become a bad word among black people? No, we are going to have a good education system. It's going to represent all people. And I'm going to help see that through, because education lifted my father out of poverty when he came to America with only $1.75. Education lifted me because I have to find my own way in this world, and education will lift all of us.
I want to talk about keeping on schools, but about vaccines in schools. Virginia public schools are required, children are required there to get vaccinated for a lot of things, including polio and measles and chicken pox. So why is it okay to mandate childhood vaccines in Virginia for so many diseases, but not COVID?
Well, let's ask ourselves, and I'm not saying yay or nay, let's ask ourselves, if the purpose of the COVID vaccine is to prevent us from getting COVID, then why is it that those who have had COVID must get the vaccine? The one doesn't follow the other. And so, you know, there are people who, when they get COVID, they also get the monoclonal antibody therapy, and it's working. It's working very well in Florida, if you notice what's happening there. And so one size doesn't fit all. Now, I have said, get the vaccine. And then if you're not going to get the vaccine, then, you know, do what's necessary to keep yourself safe, keep other people safe. But let me ask you this question. If you have the mask on, then why does somebody else have to wear the mask? You've got the mask. You've got the vaccine. My God, you're fully protected. You're armored. I think ultimately we have to remember that we're America. We love our freedom. We love our liberty. People are dying to get into this country so that they can do well for themselves and their families. Let's not make it like some other countries. Let's let liberty shine.
So just a couple of things that you said there. You said that people who have had COVID have the antibodies. That is true, but scientists don't think that lasts forever, and eventually they wane, just like the antibodies you get from your vaccine wanes, which is why people are getting boosters. But my question from the beginning was about the fact you talk about liberty, but there are already mandates for vaccines for a host of other diseases. So is COVID just becoming too political, especially as you even said, you want people to get vaccinated?
I'm not going to force anybody to do that. Now, you talk about it's become politicized with COVID-19 vaccine, and it has. In fact, our president, President Biden, and Vice President Harris themselves both said they would not trust any vaccine that was developed by the Trump administration. That was before their election. After their election, they were singing a different song. And now everybody has to be vaccinated. In fact, President Biden, when he was candidate Biden, said that he would not force vaccines on us, and here we are. I mean, what are we really believing? Then we say we're going to go along with whatever the health and the sciences say. Well, then his very own FDA, 16-2, voted against booster shots. Then what happens? He comes out, his CDC director says they're going to have booster shots. What science are we following? Then we hear that at the border, people are coming in, COVID, no mask, no anything, and they're being let into the general population. But then the rest of us who are here have to mask up. What is the science? Can somebody tell us what to finally believe?
Yeah.
This is the problem. It is all politicized.
Yeah, well, in fairness, the science, it's a novel virus, and the science is changing, and scientists are learning about it. I just have to say that you said that the candidate, Biden, said that he wouldn't trust the Trump vaccine. What they said was that they would only trust it if the scientists determined it, not the politicians. But just before I let you go on this topic, during the campaign, you were, as I said, you're encouraging people to get vaccinated, but you're not saying whether you are vaccinated. Do you want to say now?
As I said, America, if it's nothing else, it's about liberty. It's about being able to live your life free from the government telling you what to do. And so we understand this thing about slippery slopes. The minute that I start telling you about my vaccine status, we're going to be down the bottom of the mountain trying to figure out how we got there, because now you want to know what's in my DNA. You're going to want to know this, that, and the other. In New York, you see, we have people, waiters asking people their vaccination status. And by the way, do you know what else they require? A photo ID to determine if this vaccine card you're presenting is really you. Who are we fooling? Come on. Let's say you get the vaccine. Go ahead and get the vaccine. If that's what you want to do, get the vaccine. Don't force it on anybody else. We know, and by the way, media, they're not telling us that people are suffering as a result of getting the vaccine. They have all kinds of problems. I understand it might be the minuscule, but when you're the one out of 30,000 that gets it, it's important to you. So we need to tell the good, the bad, and the ugly about the vaccine.
Before I let you go, I want to ask about what happened in Wisconsin this past week. A jury acquitted Kyle Rittenhouse of all charges, and it accepted his argument that he acted in self-defense when he killed two people in Kenosha last year, and he wounded another. A number of Republican elected officials and other voices on the right are celebrating Rittenhouse as a hero. Do you think his actions should be lionized?
You know what I think? I think we ought to let the American justice system speak for itself. And I'm going to quote our current president, President Biden, and he said, it's time to move on. And so let's heal. There's one verse I've used throughout my campaign, written by a Jewish politician, King David, Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters live together in peace and harmony. Can we allow the scab to finally heal? Can we stop picking at the wounds? We need a president who comes out and says, let's just get together. Let's figure it out. Let's not label people. But, you know, we see that the world is turned upside down. The right is wrong. The wrong is right. When do we have that where we say, let's just all get along, like Rodney King said? And by the way, can we have a media that tries to find the good among us instead of dividing us? Because the media are complicit in this.
Winston Sears, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Congratulations again on your win, and I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving.
They're gonna and you know what? I got a feeling they probably didn't know what to do at CNN when she accepted this invitation. They probably thought that they could set her up, and you saw what Dana Bash tried to do, and that was hit all those talking points and pow, bang, biff, sock, zap, you know, like the old Batman TV show. I mean, she just disassembled them. I'm sorry. There have been a lot of things, and you know, you see stuff like this. And that's not something I would normally have watched. I was clued in that I should watch that. And I found the interview over at Conservative Treehouse. Folks, Conservative Treehouse, you need to check them out. Some pretty prescient and sharp writers over there who have a keen eye for the political landscape and certainly a very solid understanding of what's going on in these United States politically. But I think we can take encouragement from someone like Winsome Sears. Okay, and there's no shortage, and there never really has been, to be truthful with you. There's never really been a particular shortage of strong-minded, intelligent, conservative women. A lot of people look at someone like Sarah Palin, and they see her as fluff. They see her as non sequitur, marginalized, and she was marginalized. But you know, she was a smart, strong conservative woman. What she did in Alaska in getting the oil companies to pay royalties to all citizens of Alaska—that was genius. Nobody else did that. And they could have. You think the governors before Sarah Palin in Alaska were a bunch of rubes that didn't know how to deal with the oil company executives? Of course they did. They rather had the oil executives pay them than pay the citizens of Alaska. And Sarah Palin wanted to try something else, and it worked. But there are no shortages. There's a number of strong conservative women in and out of politics that are out there today making the scene, and they're being heard, and I think that it's wonderful. Wyoming Republican Party leaders, as of November 16th, no longer recognize Congresswoman Liz Cheney, daughter of Dick Cheney, as a member of the party. Well, and that's hardly surprising because I don't think she voted to impeach Trump. She's never gone along with anything that was even remotely connected to Trump, and caucuses most of the time with Democrats anyway. The Wyoming GOP passed a resolution that the U.S. representative of their state, who was one of the 10 House Republicans to join all Democrats in voting to impeach then-President Donald Trump for his role in the violent January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, was no longer a member of their party in a 31-29 vote during a Saturday meeting in Buffalo, Wyoming. The resolution, drafted by the GOP in Lincoln County, called on the U.S. House Republican leaders to strip Cheney of her committee assignments and the House GOP conference itself, but it's mainly symbolic. She cannot be recalled. She cannot be removed from office. There's no entity, there's no agency out there that can forcibly change any individual's chosen political affiliation without the individual who's changing that affiliation choosing to do so themselves. It just can't happen. In February of last year, the Wyoming GOP also censured Cheney over her impeachment vote, arguing Cheney's vote to impeach ran counter to the will of Wyoming voters who supported Trump by more than a 40-point margin. State also made baseless claims that members of the anti-fascist, Antifa, the fascist, anti-fascist, Antifa and Black Lives Matter instigated the violence on January 6th. I don't know if they're baseless or not. It's been said that they are, but a lot of things have been said. It was said that, you know, if one mask is good for you, two masks is better, right? It was said once you had a vaccine, you didn't need to wear a mask. Right. Cheney also criticized Trump for his claims that he won the 2020 presidential election before the House Republicans removed her from her post as the third highest ranking Republican, the conference chair. The congresswoman has said that she put the Constitution above party in her impeachment of Trump and criticism of his attempts to undermine the 2020 election, but the state central committee voted to pass a resolution that questions her decision making. It's the first time I can think of, certainly in modern history, say since 1960, that I'm aware of something like this happening where these people have become so concerted, so disgusted with their political representation in Washington that they don't even consider them to be a member of the Republican Party. Can't bring her home, can't make her quit, can't keep her from voting Republican if that's what she wants to do, but it is indicative of what a large measure of Americans are thinking right now on both sides about political leadership that they once thought they could rely on. See, what you got basically, I think, is you have 80% of us, okay? 80% of us are pretty much center right, center left, center. Okay, that's 80%. But I think there's about 15% of us on the Democrat side and about 5% of us on the Republican side that are radicalized either way and are trying to lord it over the rest of us. Again, what does it come down to? It comes down to a discerning and informed electorate. Okay? That's what it comes down to. Going to take a short break. We will be back with more of Conservative Perspective right after this.
Whatever happened to the boy named
Okay, we're back. That was First Class, the name of the group, and Beach Baby. I thought that was just such an awesome tune, man. I mean, that was like 1974, maybe 73, 74. So I would have been about 12 years old. But I kind of dug the bubblegum scene because that was really kind of popular there in the early 70s when I was coming up. Anyway, welcome back. James Bostic here, A Conservative's Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio here at, where are we? Blog Talk Radio, blogtalk.com. I don't know what it's like where you're at, but here in West Virginia, the mask mandate in many places, at least for me, and I think a few others, is fundamentally more a suggestion than it is something really hard and fast. And though there are places where, you know, it is, in schools, we're still making kids wear masks. I think this is cruel. I think this is inhuman. I think that it is authoritarian. I think it's baseless authoritarianism. I think that it is, I'm going to go ahead and say it, I think it's fundamentally predatory behavior. There are people within the school system engaging in predatory behavior with these kids by forcing them to do this. So kids have no say-so. They have no voice in this issue. They are coerced. And I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like wearing them either. And by and large, in many places, I don't. I know I've never worn one in a store. I've never worn one in a restaurant. I think maybe there were a couple of times I had to wear them when I had mom at the emergency room. Otherwise, they were gonna make me leave. But even then, I didn't wear it for very long. Everybody screamed, "You got to get the vaccine. Got to get that vaccine, man." I haven't had the vaccine. I think that my antibodies are such that my immune system is operating at a much superior level than those people that have been cowering around here wearing masks everywhere they go. In the movie Moneyball, Oakland Athletics general manager Billy Beane is talking with his team of scouts, and they're talking about this prospect, this new player. And basically he asked the question, he said, well, if he's a good hitter, why doesn't he hit good? And the scouts, you know, they all had solid explanations, at least in their minds, of why a prospect might be a good hitter. And it goes from the sound of the crack of the bat when they hit the ball, to his good looks, to how he stands at the plate. These explain why the player should be a good hitter. But what of the numbers? From batting average to on-base percentage, they tell a different story. And the question that the manager poses is obvious in its simplicity. Good hitters ought to hit good, and if they don't, well, maybe they're not really good hitters. So what if we ask that question about mask mandates and, we'll go a little bit further, vaccines? If the mask mandates, as we have been told, are to counter the spread, why doesn't it counter the spread? Because it doesn't. It doesn't at all. Likewise, if vaccines work, as we've been told repeatedly that they do, then why aren't they working? Now, again, I am not anti-vaccine. I am anti-mandate. I am not anti-vaccine. But if the current news cycle speaks frequently over the last week or so, too, of COVID cases rising in many highly vaccinated locations, seemingly against common sense. Now, you can talk to your doctor about this kind of stuff, you know, if you have a good relationship with him, and maybe he will talk to you, maybe he won't. And you can't, you know, and it's frustrating, but because he wants to give you the best advice possible for your health, because he's your doctor. He took an oath, the Hippocratic oath, not the hypocritic, the Hippocratic oath. You know, he walks into the house of the sick. He's there to heal. He's there to help. But the American Federation of Medical Specialists have made it clear that physicians who generate and spread COVID-19 vaccine misinformation or disinformation are risking disciplinary action by state medical boards, including the suspension or revocation of the medical license. Now, hopefully, asking thoughtful questions and observing how the medical authorities, like Dr. Anthony Fauci, have changed their own positions on vaccine is not considered misinformation, or that citing the CDC and major news organizations won't be considered disinformation. In the 1950s, X-raying pregnant women was standard practice, and questioning that harmful procedure, were such a thing to be done in the 1950s with today's climate now, might be considered mis or disinformation. And if you think that this kind of medical censorship is all conspiracy theory, talk with Dr. Mary Bowden, the Houston ear, nose, and throat specialist, suspended from her Houston hospital for tweeting about vaccine mandates and ivermectin. But back to the COVID vaccine. The CDC website states, COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and free. All three of those words, relative. But let's unpack them. VAERS is it's an acronym, and it stands for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. And from their website, one can compare adverse events from COVID vaccines from the past 11 months that they've been available to adverse events from all vaccines for the past 30 years, from 1990 onward. Now, 11 months versus 30 years of side effects, and in most categories, the cumulative cases are similar between the two groups, despite a 30-fold time difference in the data recording. Of note, hospitalizations, deaths, permanent disabilities, and birth defects were greater for 11 months of COVID vaccines than they were for 30 years of all other types of vaccines, such as shingles, influenza, measles, mumps, hepatitis, and so on. The VAERS, the V-A-E-R-S, is voluntary reporting. Now, for a variety of reasons, all these cases do not make it to the V-A-E-R-S database. How much is this underreporting? Now, let's go back. When we take the number of hospitalizations, deaths, permanent disabilities, and birth defects reported as caused by this vaccine, they were greater for the 11-month period that the COVID vaccines and their variants have been in existence than they were for 30 years, 30 years worth of all types of other vaccines. Again, the VAERS system is voluntary. in all cases don't make it into the database. So again, how much is being underreported? Because clearly, if not everyone reports them, then yes, they're being unreported. According to the database, they did their own analysis on this about 8 or 10 years ago, and they found fewer than 1% of vaccine adverse events are reported. Their words, not mine. Fewer than 1% are reported. So clearly, this means that adverse events could be happening far more frequently than what we're being told by the corporate media, who don't even report the VAERS current data. What if these adverse events are 10 or even 100 times more common than what the system reports? In order, you know, in other words, to paraphrase Manager Bean, if the vaccines are safe, then why aren't they safe? Are they effective? The CDC answers an emphatic yes. COVID-19 study shows mRNA vaccines reduce risk of infection by 91% for fully vaccinated people. This disease has a survival rate of 99% and change. Vaccination makes illness milder, shorter for the few vaccinated people who do get COVID-19. But does the real world agree and support the CDC's optimism? Gibraltar is more than fully vaccinated. They are 118% vaccinated, meaning that many fully vaccinated folks have had booster injections too. Yet this headline doesn't jive with CD assertions. Most vaccinated place on earth told to cancel holiday plans amid exponential rise in COVID cases. 118% in Gibraltar. Hold on. Excuse me. And we're back. Boy, that Canada Dry is some smooth stuff. 118% vaccinated, and the government's saying, stay home. Why? Because of an exponential rise in COVID cases. 93% vaccinated Ireland has gone, as you probably heard, into partial lockdown, including a midnight curfew. The COVID surge in Singapore, despite 80% vaccination, are from the UK, where The Spectator reported the rates of COVID infection per 100,000 now are higher among the vaxxed than the unvaxxed. Vermont has the highest vaccination rate in the country, so why are cases surging? Colorado's COVID hospitalizations jump again as the virus statewide death toll surpasses 9,000. Colorado's 12 and up population is over 80% partially or fully vaccinated. The CDC on its website claims research provides evidence that COVID-19 vaccines are effective at preventing COVID-19, yet in cases all over the country, everywhere they have these areas that are highly vaccinated, you've got COVID cases surging. Almost 2 years into the pandemic, they told us the vaccines were going to work. It does not sound like they're working. If the vaccines work, why aren't they working? Last is the free claim. Nothing from the government is ever free. The recipients may not be charged, but that is not the same. It's not the same as free. The government doesn't produce anything and therefore isn't able to offer anything for free. They confiscate money from those they lord over and they redistribute it back to those from whom they took it. The Pfizer vaccine costs the government about $20 a dose, with other COVID vaccines in the same ballpark. Some 445 million doses of vaccine have been administered in the U.S. to date. That's $9 billion bucks right there. Spending on research and development has been estimated at $40 billion, pushing the total north of $50 billion and likely much higher given the many hidden or non-transparent costs. If these numbers seem off to you, major vaccine maker Pfizer expects $36 billion in COVID vaccine revenues in 2021, in the same range as what we just talked about with those numbers. Now, while the vaccine may be free to the person getting jabbed, someone's paying the tab for the vaccine, for the syringe, and the time of the person administering the shot. It always works that way. Nothing is really free. So if the vaccines are free, why do they cost so much? There isn't anything wrong with the medical establishment saying, we don't know, or we're not sure about COVID prognostications, rather than being cocksure about everything until reality turns their pronouncement upside down. Okay, gaslighting the public and being wrong more than being right does not engender public confidence. Those who preach follow the science seem to neither understand nor desire to actually follow the science, instead letting politics replace science with our COVID policies, often not following the science. Dr. Anthony Fauci acknowledged the new vaccine reality in the New York Times podcast on the 12th of November. They're seeing a waning of immunity not only against infection, but against hospitalization, to some extent death, which is starting to now involve all age groups. It isn't just the elderly. I'll be right back. And we are back. So when others acknowledge this reality, they observe this condition, they're ostracized and shamed. How long has Dr. Fauci known about this? In May, the CDC told us once you got vaccinated, you could return to a normal life. How's that working out? Instead of transparency, we see this. The FDA wants 55 years to process freedom of information requests over vaccine data. 55 years. Is this part of the FDA's commitment to transparency? This is the same FDA that only took 108 days to review Pfizer's clinical trial data, deeming it safe and effective enough for FDA approval. But for the public, the FDA needs 20,000 days to review the same data before public release. So despite the shaming and the ridicule and the condescension of the vaxxed versus the unvaxxed, here we are, almost 2 years into the pandemic, with a mostly vaccinated population, and hospitals and ICUs are overrun with COVID cases. This pandemic should be in the rearview mirror. But in some respects, it's almost as bad as it was last year. So, once again, if the vaccines work, why aren't they working? I don't know. I think that I won't say I'm lucky, but I think that I was one of those people who got COVID when it first came here back in November, 2 years ago. I thought it was my seasonal thing because it happened at about the same time. Twice a year, I get something like that. Usually, October to November when the weather starts to chill, and then again, March into early April. It happens every time. I think I got it. 2 years later, I think I got the variant. I'm not worried about a thing. I was for a couple days. And it isn't anything to monkey with, and I'm not trying to marginalize or invalidate it, the spouse, the husband of a very dear high school chum of my same age, fundamentally same demographics, I guess, the same, what do they call, actuarial table information, same time. I don't know if it was he was more susceptible to the virus due to his comorbidities or what the issue was, but he was my age, maybe a couple of years younger, and he died. We're out of time. That's all we got, 90 seconds. Thursday's Thanksgiving Day. Don't know what I'm going to do. If I get bored and I miss you guys, probably do a show. We'll find out then. It's okay. You're going to be busy sleeping after 14 pounds of turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and all that mess. God bless each and every one of you. God bless America. I'm done for tonight. We'll be back taking a look at things maybe Thursday, if not some other time. We do it Tuesday and Thursday live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on Patriot Nation Radio at Blog Talk. We have a Sunday incarnation of the program that is recorded and goes out at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you ought to be. Very best in conservative and libertarian radio. That's it. We're done. I hope you guys have a safe and happy and blessed Thanksgiving. And believe me, people, we got a lot to be thankful for. Maybe I will do a Thanksgiving show. We'll talk about that. God bless you. God bless America. We'll see you next time when we get out here taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. You guys take good care. Happy Thanksgiving.